You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Hello, Kingdom City! Wow, welcome to church today. Wherever you are in the globe, we are so happy that you've joined us for today's service. You may be with your family or friends, or maybe by yourself, watching us on an iPad, an iPhone, or maybe even a Samsung. We are so glad that you're taking time out to join us for today's service. My name is Matt, and I'm part of the team here at Kingdom City, and I have the privilege of bringing the Word of God to you today. So I want you to get ready, because I feel like God is going to bring some powerful change into your life today as you listen and not just hear the word, but become a doer of the word today. So we're just going to pray first and then we're going to get stuck into it straight away. Father God, we just pray that as this word is spoken, Lord, let your anointing flow to every part of this globe, Lord God. Every single person that is watching, every single person that is listening, let your power flow into their place. Lord God, move by your Holy Spirit and bring change and transformation to our lives. We ask this now in the greatest name, in Jesus' awesome name. And everybody said, amen. I heard you. I heard you all the way in Africa. Awesome stuff. You know what? I want to stir you today. Some of you, I'm going to take you back and I'm going to give you some haunting words. Some of you are young enough and you're still in this season where you hear these words often. And it's the season in the classroom. You know, you're sitting down there. You've been enjoying your day. So far, it's been so good. And then the teacher walks in and says, students, tomorrow, we're taking a test. And the moment they say that word, all joy leaves the building. I mean, your heart sinks, your pulse starts racing, you start thinking of terrible things, and everything that you enjoyed about the day before has completely gone, and you've now entered a nightmare. Am I speaking to somebody today? For some of you that are older, you're going, oh, please, please don't mention that word, test, test, test. Well, let me tell you, listen, for want of a better thing, the title of my message today is Passing the Tests. Passing the tests. And so I want to share with you because you know what? Let me tell you, the world is full of tests and you cannot escape it. But let me tell you, through God's word, you can learn how to pass the tests. And so we're going to look at this famous passage of scripture that I know most of you would know the scripture if you've been a Christian for a little while. I remember the first time I read this passage of scripture, I just went, why is this in the Word of God? I mean, how did this get in here? Did this sneak in? But no. It was something inspired by the Holy Spirit and the scribe wrote it. And it says this in James 1, 2 to 8 in the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful passage of scripture. And today we're going to grab a hold of it and we're going to speak life into it and something's going to change in your life. And so I want to talk to you really simply about passing the tests. Three key points that I can see from this passage of scripture that if we take on board, it'll change the way that we do this thing called life. And the first one is this. Number one, embrace the test. Everybody say it, embrace the test. It says this in verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. See, you know, I realize this, Pastor Mark shared the vision. Over 2 weeks, he shared the vision and he talked about this. He said, we're going to call it the decade of discipleship. You know what I've realized is most of us want to be a disciple, but we don't want any discipline. Right? We want to become a disciple, but we don't want discipleship. or at least we want to pick and choose what we get discipled in, right? Think about this, but you can't be a disciple if there is no discipline. And the word discipline also links to the word being tested, right? See, it's part of the process. To become disciplined, it takes discipline, right? Whether it's internal or external, right? And like I said, we've called this the decade of discipleship. God wants to make you a disciple. And in order to do that, there are going to be some disciplines that come your way. See, it's all about how we view tests. See, how you view them is very important. As James said, see it as an opportunity. See, what you need to understand is this. There are two types of tests. Tests that come from God are an opportunity to grow, growing your trust, growing your faith. But tests that come from the devil are a temptation and a snare and a trap. They try to rob you. But tests have always been around. Tests have always been around. Look at this, right? Hebrews 12, verse 5 to 11. Hebrews 12, 5 to 11 in the English Standard Version says this, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Look at what the Bible's saying here. God disciplines the ones he loves. I want you to hear that. God disciplines the ones he loves. It doesn't say God loves to discipline the one he loves. Okay, don't read it wrong. It says, if God loves you, he will discipline you. But God doesn't love to discipline, right? But he wants to take you on a journey. Discipline is part of the testing, right? You need to understand, if you want to become a disciple, then there's going to be discipline in your life. There are going to be tests, but they're an opportunity. Come on, say it with me. Opportunity, right? See, we're promised tests. Jesus actually said storms are going to come. I preached a year ago about the whole fact of like this. Jesus never promised us storm-free, but he did promise us storm-proof if we follow him. He actually said storms are going to come. Persecutions are going to come. Tests are going to come. See, I read this quote that I love, right? It said this, "In school, you're taught lessons and then you're given a test. But in life, you're given tests and it teaches you lessons." See, there's a big difference, right? In school, you're taught lessons and then given a test. But in life, you're given a test and it teaches you lessons. All throughout the Bible, we can see people were tested. Adam and Eve, the first human beings, were tested. God created this beautiful garden. He said, you can have everything in this garden but this one tree. It was a test. It was a test, will you trust me? It was a test, will you trust me? But the devil turned it into a test, a temptation, a snare, and a trap. Abraham was tested. You know, through your son, through your child, all nations will be blessed. But Sarah and Abraham grew impatient, and so they tried to create a child their own way. They went with their slave rather than believing the promise of God, right? All throughout the Bible, there are tests. We can see it all the way through. Joseph was tested, right? Noah was tested. Different people in the Bible were tested. Tests are always going to come your way. So can I encourage you, number one, embrace the test. Embrace the test as an opportunity to grow, right? Number two, endure the quest. So number one, embrace the test. Number two, endure the quest. How many people know you're on a quest? We're on a journey, right? Verse 3 says this, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For for when your endurance is fully developed, it goes on to talk about it, right? So it's saying your faith, when it's tested, it gives an opportunity for your endurance to grow. So you need to learn to endure the quest. Galatians 6 verse 9 says this, "So let's not grow tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." One version says, "Do not grow weary in doing good, because in due season, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up." Now look, Paul's writing, "Don't grow weary in doing good." Why did he have to write that if we don't grow weary in doing good? He wrote it because we grow weary. How many people have ever grown weary going, "Oh my gosh, more? I've got to do more." Paul's encouraging us, get up again, take another step, move another step forward, keep going, don't give up. He's reminding you, see, you know what? There are tests that are going to go in your life, but it's an opportunity for you to endure the quest, to build endurance, to become tougher, to become stronger, to become better. You know, I remember many years ago, we went skiing, right? When we were living in Australia, we went over to Victoria. We were living in Adelaide, South Australia. We cruised over to Victoria, to the mountains there to ski. And my daughters were very young at that point there. We went to the ski lodge. We booked in for 5 days and we booked our kids in for ski lessons because we wanted them to learn how to ski. Now, Emily, she was tiny. She was about this high. My oldest daughter, she was about this high. She had a ski uniform on there. It looked really cool. It was funky. I think it was blue and pink and all sorts of other crazy colors. And she had the tiniest skis you've ever seen in your life on her feet, right? And we took her into this ski school, and her ski instructor was this Austrian guy that actually sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right, it's just a true story. It's a true story, right? And so she's trying to ski, and we're watching her from a distance. She falls over, and she's covered in snow. The ski instructor comes up and goes, "Get up." Pulls her up by the collar and goes, "Get up, wipe the snow off your shirt. Come on, get up, you baby, ski." How many people know? She didn't want to ski anymore. She didn't want to ski anymore. It terrified her. She's just like, ah! How many people know? God's not like that. When you fall down, God's not going, "Get up, wipe the snow off you. Hey, your mother's not here to wipe your tushy anymore. Get up and bush." Right? He's not like that. He's the one that's going to help you endure. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the strength, and he's going to give you the power, and he's going to give you the stirring in your spirit that enables you to get back up, dust yourself off, and walk on. See, do you remember the first time you tried to drive a car? You got in there, man. How many times did you check the mirrors? Right, seatbelt, is it on? Did it really click? I don't know whether it really clicked. I'll check the mirrors one more time. And even before you even turn on the ignition, you just made sure your feet are on the right pedals. I think that's the accelerator. I think that's the brake. And then you're checking the steering wheel. You're making sure the car is fully functional. The pulse in your neck is playing a rap song in your head and you're freaking out. And then the driving instructor says, "Turn on the ignition." So you turn it on. You're freaking out. I mean, it's your air conditioner's on maximum freeze and you're still sweating because you're so nervous, right? Your hands are gripped onto that steering wheel. When you take your hands off, there's fingerprints in the steering wheel because you panic so much. You looked at the mirror a gazillion times as you drove 5 meters down the road. That's what it was like when you first started. But as you endured, now you get to a point of where you're driving along. And listen, please, some of you are not even paying attention anymore. You can't even remember the last time you checked the mirror. You pull out the phone and check messages. You're watching movies on the screen. You're freaking out, all sorts of stuff there. Now listen, the Bible says we walk by faith, you don't drive by faith. So keep both hands on the steering wheel and do the right thing. But how many people know you learned endurance and you got better as you went along? You've got to learn to endure the quest. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." He talked about the journey. He was walking, taking a hold of absolutely everything. And he made a decision. "I'm just going to keep on walking one step in front of the other." Some of you feel like you've hit this wall. No, take a step. It doesn't matter how big the step is. It might only be an inch or it might be a full meter step. Whatever it is, as long as you're moving, you're progressing. Endure the quest. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says this, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." God is not going to allow you to go through anything that he's not going to empower you to get through. He will never test you beyond your abilities. Paul said it in this way. He said, I'm hard pressed, but I'm not crushed. He said this, one of the most powerful verses for me as a young Christian growing. I read this in Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14. He said, not that I've already obtained all this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, let me tell you, we got to press on. We got to strain. You got to get up, forget what's behind, forget the past mistakes. Yes, you may have sat a test and only got 5 out of 10, but listen, you got 10 experiences out of that. And I guarantee you, the next time you sit the test, the score's going to go up. It's not going to go backwards. So forget what is behind and strain towards what is ahead. One man said, tests can seem like mountains, but remember, as you're walking up that mountain, your legs are getting stronger. As you're walking up that mountain, your legs are getting stronger. Number one, embrace the test. Number two, endure the quest. And number three, expect the best. Expect the best. Verse 4 in James says this, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Oh, come on. Did you hear that? So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Oh, we've got to learn to expect the best. Where's your expectation level right now? Where's your expectation with all the tests that are going on right now? For some of us, they're still in different phases of lockdown and isolation from the COVID. There's been a test that's been going on, but let me tell you, have you seen the light at the end of the tunnel? And let me tell you, folks, I know some negative people say, I saw the light at the end of the tunnel and it was a train. This is not a train. This is the glory of God. This is the promise of God that is absolutely waiting for you. Why? Because Romans 8 verse 28 says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. My friend, you are called according to his purpose. See, God isn't testing you to show you what a failure you are. He wants to show you how incredible you are, that through him you can do all things, that through him you are more than a conqueror. You are a saint, a priest, above and not below, the head and not the tail. My friends, he's showing you the truth of the word of God that lives inside of you, and it's time for you to make a declaration. This will not destroy me. This will not conquer me. This will not defeat me. You can't get any bigger, but I can in Christ Jesus. Some of us got to start making that declaration again and expecting the best. I am going to get through this. I am going to endure. I am going to see the goodness of God. Look at this scripture. Philippians 1 verse 3 to 6 says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Listen to this. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He isn't finished with you. It isn't over until he says it over. So come on, wherever you are right now, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to make a declaration over your house, over your household, over your family, over your finances, over your workplace, over your tests right now. My God is for me. Who can be against me? We declare it. We declare it. We declare it. As we sing this song, I want you to begin to make a declaration over every situation. Come on, come on, come on.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that he loves you very much. So much that he died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.